welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the manners guide of free speech. You know, because I don't know if they still do this, but back in the 1800s, people used to publish books on etiquette and just on just how to do things properly. And it could be how you set your table. It could be how you introduce yourself in public. But just etiquette. And that's what RBN's like, because you come to RBN and you just expect people to act properly and speak properly. At least I do. I keep it classy. Everybody knows that. So go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button. Send badly needed funds. It's 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And today's Monday, we have with us Mark Collett from England that literally invented good manners. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello. Well, we did invent good manners. We invented a lot of things. And interestingly, believe it or not, I actually looked into etiquette and manners. And throughout a certain period of European history, etiquette and manners became so sort of exhaustive and almost repressive that eventually many of the different etiquettes and systems of manners were actually rolled back. And they were rolled back because it was just taking too much time. So actually engaging in normal conversation began. I learned about this actually when I was in, I might have been in Luxembourg actually at a museum, and they were talking about sort of the etiquette of the courts, you know, the King's Court at the time in Luxembourg. And basically they claimed that it became so, this etiquette became so far reaching that it just had a negative effect on everyone's lives. And people were taking sort of minutes to do things that should have taken seconds. And actually keeping up with etiquette became almost sort of a full-time job, to know sort of what you could do, what you couldn't, what you could say, how you had to say it, how you had to address different people, where you would stand when you were addressing them, you know, the things that you had to put before a sentence if you were speaking to a certain noble. And eventually it just became such an incredible waste of everybody's time that things were dialed back to just a basic system of politeness that we have today.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I don't know much about etiquette. There are rules of etiquette. I have an acquaintance at the State Department who needed to look into etiquette. I don't know what she knows about it, but there are all these rules, who gets to sit where, stuff like that. But the reason I just made that inference is we're – over the past several months, and it's in large part because of, I guess, Israel going a little bit beyond etiquette in terms of its relationship with the Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank. There are people who are just questioning whether this is really proper. And so you got people who are questioning the politeness and the etiquette of Jewish power. And many of these are people who you thought sooner or later, are these people going to start talking about it because they talk about real things? There's other people who maybe don't talk about real things as much, and they're trying to find a way to talk about this. And I'm going to bring up one name, Candace Owens, who back in the autumn of 2022, when Kanye West had gone DEFCON 3
off the reservation is how some people would describe it.
Yeah, well, he called it DEFCON 3. He said he had some social media post. It wasn't a tweet. I think it was a Facebook post in the middle of the night, like at 3 a.m. saying, "I'm going DEFCON 3 on the Jews." And it was he talked about stuff. And a lot of what he was talking about was real, but of course he talked about it wearing some black mask over his face, and it was interesting. He became an example partly of like how not to do things, because he went into this as a like with a net worth of $2 billion, and came out of it with something like 90% of his money having been taken away by people who obviously have been incorrectly accused of having power. They were incorrectly accused. That's why he lost all his money, because the people
I want to just counter signal you there a little bit.
Okay.
And I just want to say this. It was widely reported that Kanye West lost billions. Now, when somebody says that somebody lost billions, or that somebody has, as their net wealth has like come tumbling, and people are like, oh my God, he was worth 2 billion, but now he's only worth 1 billion. Well, if you're only worth 1 billion, you're still worth a billion. But one thing I'll say about these things about what people's net worth are, I'm not even sure how that's calculated. So it wasn't like Kanye West had 2 billion in the bank.
Right.
And then overnight, somebody, some little gremlin decided, well, now he's only got 1 billion because we've taken a billion away from him. And I do look at these things like these net worth calculations, and I wonder what they're based upon. And I should imagine some of what they're based upon isn't actually, in any way sort of a real thing. And I do wonder how much money he did actually lose. Now, I should imagine his net worth calculation was based on things such as, contracts and yes. Total sales of things, which he could gain in the future. And then obviously, due to a certain group of people not liking him, they would basically make it so that he would no longer be able to gain those contracts in the future. But I'm always in that sort of mindset when people talk about things like net worth, that it's not really yours until you've got it in your hand. It'd be like saying, well, I've bought a Bitcoin, and Bitcoin's meant to go to $1 million. So I'm a millionaire. Well, I see where you're going with that, but you're not there until Bitcoin officially hits $1 million. Then you're there. And even then, you're not there unless you can actually sell the Bitcoin and realize the $1 million, which you might lose 5% on that when you do such a transaction. So, even then you're not there. So I do take a little bit of issue with that. And I think the Kanye West thing, the guy probably had hundreds of millions in the bank, maybe. And he's probably still got hundreds of millions in the bank. So whether actually in real terms he was any worse off, I don't know.
Here's some of the details. I'm not going to say I know all the details, but some of the big detail was he had a contract with Nike or Adidas. I guess it was Adidas. He had this contract with Adidas for he had contracts for fashion, because most of his money wasn't even coming from music. It was coming from fashion. And these contracts were ongoing, and it was creating a lot of a huge income stream for him. They were very popular. It was a big moneymaker for Adidas as well. And Adidas was pressured to break the contract. So
yes.
that's something. That was something that was real. With Donald Trump, he's being sued for stuff, right? He's being sued for stuff. The government of New York, they sued him because they said he defrauded banks. He defrauded banks because he was overestimating the worth of the real estate projects that he was getting financed. Now he's paid back all the money, and even when I borrowed money just to get a mortgage to buy a house, the bank sent out an appraiser to appraise how much they thought the house that I was buying was actually worth, and therefore how much they would lend to me on what terms. This is very. Very common type of thing to do, and obviously the banks were doing that for these real estate projects. But Trump would say, "Yeah, this is going to be worth billions of dollars." And one of the things that he has done to when he talks about his net worth is the value of his name, his brand. The Trump brand is worth such and such. Well, the brand is worth something. How do you appraise how much it's worth? So anyway, there's that stuff, but that's not really what I want to
do. I know we're not going to talk about it, but I just think it's an interesting thing, the way they use it to scare people. Like, Donald Trump's net worth is now X. And you're like, oh my God, it's fallen so dramatically. But all it is some sort of hack journalist saying, well, because we believe that he's worth less because he's what he is now, we're going to say that Donald Trump used to be worth $10 billion. Now he's only worth $2 billion. Oh my God! It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. I mean, but, really,
what we can say is that Kanye and Trump have faced negative financial repercussions.
Yeah, that I agree with.
Okay, and which we all face, right? I mean, we face that for having credit card processors taken away. For you had a very successful Twitter account which got shut down. Now you had a YouTube account, and I don't know if yours was monetized. It was certainly big enough that got shut down, right? And that, so negative financial repercussions. At any rate, so when Kanye was going through this about what, 16, 17 months ago, Candace Owens, well, first of all, she was, when it all started, because it all started from Kanye West and Candace Owens showing up at some French fashion show wearing shirts that said White Lives Matter. That's how it all started. And he got attacked for that, and then he said he was going DEFCON 3 on the Jews, and then a lot of things happened, and at the end, he bent the knee. And Candace Owens had been defending him, and she, at that time, had gotten a lot of flack from, among others, from Ben Shapiro, who is, I don't know, somehow her, can we say her superior at the Daily Wire? I don't know if he's the owner or if he's what management role he's got, but he's got.
I think Ben Shapiro is really the power player at the Daily Wire. He seems to be the guy that calls the shots. I don't think that's unfair to say. Obviously, I don't want to get you or the station into any trouble by saying that's anything unfounded. But when people say Daily Wire, Shapiro seems to be, at the very least, you'd say he was their top host. I don't know about the management structure there, but I would say, you know, in my opinion, Ben Shapiro appears to be the guy that has, you know, at least some, if not a large degree, of decision-making clout at the Daily Wire. And Shapiro didn't seem to like it when Candace Owens sort of, if you like, went off the reservation and started talking about things that he certainly wouldn't want people talking about. And she did seem to face some repercussions over that, didn't she?
Right. And then in recent weeks, she's been inching closer and closer to, what do we call it? What do the young kids call it? Full red pilling or something? So she was going to do a show on the people who are behind pornography. And I think that's all it was, is like, on tonight's show, I'm going to be talking about the people behind pornography. And then she was inundated with all of these accusations of anti-Semitism before she had even done the show. So I was like, okay. And then there's this very prominent, I don't know why he's so prominent, but there's some prominent guy who calls himself rabbi. Is he really a religious rabbi? Probably is. He's some sort of Orthodox Jew. Rabbi Shmuley Botich or Botetch or Botox, something like that, who runs a sex shop in New York City with his daughter, which is pretty weird. But he's been around for a while, and I think he's prominent enough that, was he in on this humiliation tour that Elon Musk had to take after he had gone a little bit too far? He took some tour of Israel and Auschwitz, and actually he was forced to go to Auschwitz with Ben Shapiro. Was Shmuley Botok? I know Shmuley Botok was involved in it somehow. So he's a high profile Jew, and he's been going after Candace Owens, and Candace Owens is just has gone very hard against him. Is calling his daughter a hag, which is kind of weird. I don't know what she looks like. I don't know what that's based on. But he's saying how you're supposedly some sort of holy man, and you run a porn shop, and so she's and finally now she's saying, look, Jews. She was on whose show? I think she was on the Fit and Fresh show, which is, I think, an Arab guy and a black guy and a bunch of like black hookers down in Miami. And they have a lot of people on their show. And so they had her on, which was weird because, of course, she had to interact with these black hookers. And she asked them, show of hands, how many of you had a father? How many of you know your father? And nobody raised their hands. But at any rate, so when she was on that show, I think she said something about Well, just like blacks, you got this black gangs, the Bloods and the Crips. You've got people like Shmuley Botok, who are effectively some sort of Jewish criminal gang. There, and you've got these Jewish criminal gangs. What's effectively a Jewish criminal gang, that they're extremely powerful in our society. So she's crossing lines. Now, the reason I wanted to bring her up is so far, like everything she's saying, it still sounds pretty reasonable. But when people are new to talking about Jewish power publicly, and she's new, she's crossing these lines newly. And I remember about 2 months ago, right before she had her baby, maybe at the end of December, she had the academic Norman Finkelstein on to talk about what's going on in Gaza. And she said, look, I admit I don't know anything about this stuff. So she's new to it. And I wish her good luck. And and she's somebody who's pretty reasonable and well-spoken in general. So I hope she does well. But I'm going to kick it over to you. But what kind of advice would you give to somebody who hasn't talked publicly about Jewish power, is being attacked by at least segments of Jewish power, and now wants to push back? What kind of advice would you give to them?
Well, I think it's a really interesting question, and I'll address it in the following way. When you begin talking about these things and you start to get onto these things, you'll find there's a number of pressures upon you. There is the pressure not to talk about it, which is obvious. But there's also some other interesting pressures. One of the pressures is to talk about it too quickly or to go too fast. Now, what you've got to remember for Candace is a lot of her audience are firmly on the reservation when it comes to this. You know, they'll be Ben Shapiro fans. They will have probably been brought up in America that is completely philo-Semitic and pro-Israel. And for them, this will be a really, really big kind of like, if you like, change of, you know, change of sort of attitude for them to sort of talk about this at all. You know, it's a taboo. She's crossing this huge line, and she's taking on this taboo pretty much head on. So firstly, that's a good thing. But when doing so, I don't think you can go too quickly. And I think if you do go too quickly, you might lose some of your audience. So, for example, when talking to somebody about this kind of issue, there's a lot of groundwork to be done, and there's a lot of different interconnected issues that need to be discussed in an adult manner, and from the basis that, you know, your audience at one time or another may well have been completely opposed to any such discussion actually taking place, which does make things very, very difficult. You know, that makes it very, very difficult to somebody to start talking about it. But I think the first thing you have to do is obviously, you know, have the guts to say to people who are telling you to shut up, no, I'm not going to shut up. But the second thing you have to do, which is equally important, is say to the people who want you to go too fast, you know, hey, slow up here a minute. I need to take my time because my audience is new to this. And this topic is something that needs deep dives and needs to be gone through bit by bit and addressed in a, you know, appropriate manner. And I don't want to speak ill of anyone, but can you remember a guy called Patrick Little?
Yeah, he's a friend of the show.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Patrick Little. But yeah. Patrick Little was one of those guys that he came to the knowledge of this particular issue, and he went very, very quickly sort of head on into it. And he went from being someone that was everywhere all of the time about this stuff to somebody who sort of almost like burnt out on it. And I've not heard from him for quite some time. And I think you can go too fast and you then kind of lose your audience. And I've spoken about it.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
About this stuff to somebody who's sort of almost like burnt out on it, and I've not heard from him for quite some time. And I think you can go too fast and you then kind of lose your audience. And I've spoken about this, but I've done it in a way where I've tried to explain bit by bit about the different influences these people have, about the way they control different things that are invariably anti-Western or at the very least, you know, bad for our people, and the way they wield power to our detriment. And I think if you talk about it in a mature way, and you talk about it in a way where you clearly explain each and everything that you're trying to put over, you can actually navigate through, if you like, the icebergs, and you can come through on the other side with your audience understanding what you're getting at and having more respect for you. However, if you go the other way, you can end up in a situation where, sadly, your audience almost pull away from you and recoil in horror because you're trying to get too much over. And I've seen this from people before where they, because they understand things and they're so excited to explore things and you know, they almost throw their audience in at the deep end on these issues. And I really hope that Candace takes this as if it's sort of a journey of discovery for her. And by journey of discovery, what I mean is that she explains the personal journey she's on to her audience that got her to the position that she's in. Now, Kanye, you know, for all of Kanye's brilliance and for the impact he caused, I think he failed to do that. He was just kind of very much, it's the Jews, here's a picture, it's definitely the Jews, and that was where he left it. But I don't think he explained it as well as he could have done. And I think he had a certain impulsiveness that lost people along the way, and then it fizzled out. Whereas I think Candice is a much more smooth political operator. I think she knows what she's doing a bit more. And I do believe that she's got a better, more politicized following than Kanye. Kanye didn't really have that. He got involved with Nick Fuentes. There was talk of a presidential run. I immediately knew that would come to nothing. But I think it was wise of Nick Fuentes to jump on it and ride that train while he could. But sadly, it fell to pieces.
And guide it. And provide some guidance. They went to the Mar-a-Lago and talked to Trump, and that conversation actually went pretty well with Trump. Things went downhill after that.
Yeah, I think the thing with Kanye is Kanye's obviously an impulsive guy. He's an artist. He's somebody that, you know, probably from his very nature, he's somebody that you'd sort of describe as what we call in Britain a live wire. And people like that, they come across new things. You know, they talk about them. They talk about them a lot. They commit to them in the short term very, very heavily. But then they burn out and they move on to the next thing. And those people are people that you're never going to get, I believe, a lot out of. I think you get out of them what you get out of them. They're very unpredictable. They're very difficult to control and to push in any direction that's going to be productive in the long term. So once you've got what you've got out of them, you've just got to be thankful you've got anything out of them. But I don't think that's the case with Candace Owens. She's obviously a veteran broadcaster. She's somebody that's been around the block politically. She's somebody that has proved herself to, whether we like her or not, to be, and some people might like her, you know, I've never met her, so I don't know. I've never had any dealings with her, so I don't know. But I will say this with Candace Owens. She is the kind of person who fundamentally does have a proper politicized following. And I think that will leave her in a position where she's more likely to take this in a direction that is beneficial for her and the movement as a whole. But to do so, I think she has to be extremely careful. I think she has to lead people on the same journey of discovery that she's been on. And I think she has to do it in a way where she's mindful that her probably quite mainstream, you know, almost boomerish conservative audience, you know, will naturally be to some degree skeptical of the things she's saying because of their upbringing. And that, I think, is going to take her in a better way. And I also think she's not going to fall into this trap that certain people do of sort of either Fed posting or speaking irresponsibly and, you know, trying to go too far too quickly or say things that put people off the fundamental truths of the message they're trying to get over. I think Kanye did that. Like, I was very interested to see where Kanye would take it. And when Kanye turned up on a couple of these chat shows with Nick Fuentes, I think Nick Fuentes did extremely well. But I think Kanye turning up in a silly balaclava and, you know, storming off when people challenged him and leaving Nick to do it was a bad thing for Kanye. And I don't think Candace would make those errors. I think she's somebody who's going to be, you know, far more interesting and useful in what she's about to do than Kanye was. Yeah. What are your thoughts, Patrick? How would you you know, try to take a normie audience towards where we're going? Are you thinking along the same lines as me? I mean, I remember when I made my first videos about these particular issues, I had to lay out all my thoughts in highly scripted sort of, you know, 20, 25 minute videos in order to, you know, talk about different topics, you know, different parts of these issues on their own, because it's not something I think you can just address as a whole in one go.
It's very difficult. So, and by the way, I'm just gonna say, like, I'm mindful when I'm talking to you that you live in the United Kingdom and you have to be careful about what you say, not just because you might be demonetized, but because there are all sorts of.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
And by the way, I'm just going to say, like, I'm mindful when I'm talking to you that you live in the United Kingdom and you have to be careful about what you say, not just because you might be demonetized, but because there are all sorts of legal repercussions. And I'm aware that for your scripted weekly videos, you send the script to your solicitor or some legal analyst to make sure that you're not going to accidentally run foul of some sort of speech law, right? You do that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, in this country, it is very, very oppressive. You know, we live in a country that is extremely oppressive when it comes to, you know, speech laws and the way you are and are not allowed to talk about things.
Right.
And, you know, the problem is, under UK speech laws, the truth is no defense either. So if you talk about something and it's completely true, if you phrase it in the wrong way, you can still be sent to prison. So it's an extremely, we live in an extremely anti-free speech and oppressive society. Okay. That is just, you know, a fact. And unfortunately, yeah, as part of that, we sort of live with the sword of Damocles sort of hovering above our head every day, because you don't know when somebody might decide it's time to swoop on you, even for absolutely legal speech. When you look at the situation Sam Melia's in, now we've spoken about him recently, he's in jail for producing completely legal stickers, but because they believe his legal and truthful stickers were, you know, motivated, the production of them was motivated by you know, racial hatred. So if you have a situation where you say something that's truthful and it does fall within the acceptable bounds of the law, there's also the issue where you could get arrested for it for motivation. So it's certainly a minefield here in the UK.
Yeah. So regarding your question, I have this daily show. Most of my energy or most of my words on this are a daily show going to an audience that hears me day after day after day. And hence, for the most part, has an idea of, you know, what my feelings are. And so I can talk about things without a whole bunch of preparation, you know, preparing the audience, because this audience has been hearing me. So that's one thing. But if I'm talking to completely new people and going from scratch, you know, it's really hard. You want to start with things that are that are easily confirmable, for one thing, that are meaningful, but you don't want to go too far. So something that's pretty easy to talk about, especially if you're talking to, say, people who don't like the Biden administration, you can point out that the most, you know, the bulk of the most important members of the administration are in fact Jewish. You know, you got Blinken at State Department, Yellen at Treasury, Attorney General Merrick Garland, Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas, and just point out that, well, and also the agendas they're pursuing, they're not really pursuing them from the point of view of American interests, because obviously this isn't good for America, but they really are Jewish interests. And, you know, the Ukraine war or blind support for Israel, these aren't really in our interest. But, you know, you can explain this with the sanctions against Russia. They're destroying the U.S. dollar. Why is that in American interest? But, you know, that's what Yellen's doing. Attorney General Merrick Garland, he's going on a whole campaign against white supremacy. Really? That's the biggest legal problem we have here? That's the biggest criminal problem we have, is white supremacy, really? And, you know, but you can tie that into a Jewish agenda. And the immigration issue, well, this is really easy with Alejandro Mayorkas, who's not just Jewish, but what was he doing right before he became Homeland Security Secretary? Oh, he was on the board of directors of the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. So those are, they're kind of easy. It's a big enough deal, and that can get people thinking. Now, here's one pitfall that I find, and it's not limited to so-called newbies, but it is something that people who are new to talking about the issue and maybe want to make up for lost ground, maybe they've become red-pilled, and it's only recently they've been red-pilled. So in order to catch up, they want to go really, really hardcore, and because there's a lot about Jewish power that's been exaggerated. There's a lot that's not accurate. And yet I think if we just stick with what's accurate, stick with what we know we can prove, and even kind of understate things, you've got more than enough material there. You don't have to go into these ideas about Jews worshiping Satan and drinking the blood of babies in order to get some sort of whatever is supposedly in there. There's a lot of stuff that you don't need to go into. And also threats. We hear threats. Okay, well, we're going to round up people. And I hear this sometimes from people who want to say, well, it's not all Jews, you know. Most of the Jews are actually big victims. It's just this, you know, this small number of a gang. It's really a mafia. And this small number, and then maybe they're not really even Jewish. Maybe they're actually Khazarians or whatever. But, yeah, those are the ones that we need to round up. Those are the ones that we need to throw in prison. Those are the ones that need, you know, when we're in power, we're going to execute these people. but you hear this, and it's not necessarily helpful. What do you think, Mark?
I've been doing this for a long time, as you know. I spent a long period of my life involved in this cause. And as soon as I start hearing anybody talk about, you know, we're going to be doing this and these people are going to be rounded up, or we're going to be doing, I either think the person saying that is either a Fed or they're somebody who is so naive to the cause, so new, such a fanciful imbecile, that they're the kind of people that get everyone into trouble. And they not only get everyone into trouble, but they also dilute, you know, our core message. So our core message is one of, you know, doing what's right for people. I always like when David calls it sort of like a crusade for sort of human rights, because he's saying that, you know, we've got a right to exist. And the people who are taking away our right to exist, those people are fundamentally bad people. They're doing something that's not good for us. And that's a good way of putting it. But as soon as you start talking nonsense about, you know, how you're going to string certain people up, or how certain people need to be punished, you know, to the full extent of, you know, what a human being could expect, you're basically talking about some, you know, rabid fantasy of really doing others harm. And I don't believe these people actually have a credible plan to do such a thing, nor would they. A lot of it's just hot air and bluster. But I do think that kind of talk, you know, is bad. I think it's bad, and I think it harms our cause, and I think it makes us look a little bit crazy, to be honest. And that's the kind of thing, it sort of plays into this negative stereotype that, you know, Hollywood have put out there, that you know, Nazis were the most evil people that ever lived. And they were evil because they talked about Jews and then they did horrible things to Jews. And if you're leaning into that, then that's bad. Now, obviously, we need to be able to talk freely about the issues that we are close to our heart. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you begin leaning into these sort of, you know, for want of a better term, anti-white stereotypes, at that point, you're not really helping the cause in any way. In fact, you're helping people put people off the course. Now, I'm not saying you can't be angry about things. Like, I've been mischaracterized a lot lately, especially after my discussion with a Muslim and my sort of talks with people to sort of work with people from other ethnic groups for the, you know, the betterment of white people. And I'll say this, I don't want to be mischaracterized. People have got every right to be angry about bad things that happen to white people. And in a way, you've got more than a right to be angry. You've got a duty, really, to be angry about this kind of stuff, because it affects us negatively. And any other racial group would be angry about things that happen to them. So why shouldn't whites be angry about things that happen to us? Now, of course, you can be angry, but you don't have to express your anger in a ridiculous, unfettered and unproductive way. So you can talk about things you're angry about without going down a negative road that's going to hurt your cause. And I think that's a very important distinction to make. And I think what I'm trying to say is, one of the things that makes Europeans so great is we are stoic people. We do have wonderful self-control. We're not, I don't believe we're an impulsive people. We're not people who, you know, live off our impulses. And if you are angry about something, you need to express that righteous anger in a way that helps you put over yourself in the best light. And I don't believe for one minute that talking, you know, mad fantasies about, you know, potentially rounding people up as well and stuff like that, and using sort of ridiculous hyperbole does us any favors. And I don't think it sounds like a morally just way of dealing with a problem either. Which is also very important, that we not only talk about the problems at hand, but we suggest, you know, sort of morally sound and morally just solutions. So, for example, I often talk about how to deal with the migrant problem. And I'm very clear that I don't believe that migrants are the actual problem. I don't want mass immigration. I don't want demographic change. I want white people or white Britons to have a homeland here in our ancestral, you know, lands. And I think all that's correct. And I think there's a very good and very moral argument for that. However, I think if you start then blaming the migrants, if you start saying they're all evil, they're this, we just need to round them up, we need to do, I think you lose a lot of your moral impetus. Whereas if you're quite clear about this and quite calm and say, look, the real monsters here are actually the people who brought them here, the people who brought about the conditions that made it favorable for them to come here, the people who gave them the sort of the first class citizen status, and they're our enemies, and we need to, you know, get rid of them, not by the bullet and the gun, but by a sensible discussion, political change, debate, and this is why we need free speech, etc. I think that chimes with people, and people are like, well, that's actually a very sensible and mature way to address this problem. But if you go about addressing these issues in a different type of way, which is, you know, less sensible and less mature, you actually lose the people that you're trying to reach out to. And I think you do our sort of political enemies a service, and you do us a disservice by doing it in that way. And I think really a lot of our people have become so timid and so scared about discussing anything to do with race, let alone, you know, Jewish power, etc., that it is a fundamental mistake for us to go in too hard. And I think that somebody like Candace Owens will do this in a much better way than maybe Kanye West. And I really do wish her all the best. And this is my final thing I'll say before I shoot it back over to her. There's going to be people today who listen to what I'm saying and are disgusted. And are, oh, how could you ever trust Candace Owens? How could you say anything good about Candace Owens? Candace Owens once said this and Candace Owens once said that. Lots of people have once said something. But people do make mistakes. Now, I think if people make mistakes and they come forward and they say, look, I've got this wrong and now I want to address this and talk about it, you know, we should at least give them the chance to speak and hear what they've got to say. But not only that, and I'm not putting down this radio station, and I'm certainly not putting down myself, but Candace Owens has got a much greater reach than RBN, and she's got a much greater reach than Patrick Slattery or Mark Collett. You know, she's got a much greater reach than David Duke. You know, Candace Owens is somebody who reaches out to far more people than any of the people I've just mentioned. Now, you might not like that. You might be like, well, that's unjust. You know, you guys deserve a bigger platform. You know, it's terrible that she's got all that say and you guys don't get listened to. But she does. It's a fact. Now, there are people who listen to us, but not in the numbers that she gets listeners. And the fact is, the people she's reaching are people who aren't aware largely of the arguments that we make. So I am very eager for people like Candace Owens to go forward and to talk about these things, because it spreads our arguments to a new audience and potentially helps build shows like this and helps build our audience. Because when people have heard what she's got to say, if they're impressed with what she's got to say, they are very likely then to seek out more knowledge about the things she's talking about. And when I say seeking out more knowledge, that's when those people come to RBN or tune in for a Dr. David Duke show or look up a Mark Collett video on the Jewish role in the porn industry. So I think this is all a good thing. I think people should be supportive of her and what she does. But whenever we take these issues to new people, we have to do it in a very careful way and factor in the decades of conditioning those people have had.
Mm. So, yeah, I mean, regarding the reach, so I spend a lot of time doing this show, you know, producing it. I have my perpetually forthcoming book, which I put a lot of work into, but getting it, you know, you've published a book, and you know, at the end you've got to have just full-time attention for a period of time in order to get a comprehensive view of everything that's in there and make sure it fits. And I've never been able to do that last stage. And then I have to support myself. I don't have time to do a lot of things on, like, following people on the media. I don't have time for social media. And one thing I didn't realize, you know, talking about Ben Shapiro or some of these other people, Candace Owens, is they do have enormous reach. And they have enormous reach with people of my generation, boomers. I was talking to somebody. I said, well, how would, you know, Ben Shapiro, he doesn't have a show on Fox. How would the boomers see him? And my friend said, Facebook. All the boomers are on Facebook, and everybody is sharing Ben Shapiro's videos. It's all over Facebook. And I guess it would be the same with Candace Owens. So these people, even if they don't have a daily new TV program on Fox News or whatever, the people are seeing them, and boomers are seeing them because boomers are on Facebook. But then you've got the whole Twitter thing. And, you know, so there are all these people whom I've never heard of who have enormous followings on Twitter and are very influential that way. So with Candace, we're coming up close to the end of the show. Candace Owens was talking about there being kind of like a Jewish mafia, the way there is the Crips and the Bloods in the black community. Now, that's okay so far, but, you know, I want to see where she goes with it. One potential pitfall is saying, okay, it's just this real narrow segment. It's just this real narrow segment, and the rest of the Jews don't have anything to do with. Well, it's like, I don't want to round up anybody. Even Victoria Nuland, who just got fired 10 days ago.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Is saying, okay, it's just this real narrow segment. It's just this real narrow segment, and the rest of the Jews don't have anything to do with. Well, it's like, I don't want to round up anybody. Even Victoria Nuland, who just got fired 10 days ago, I think she's the most dangerous person in the world, but I'm not calling for her to be imprisoned or anything like that. I mean, frankly, she would deserve a whole bunch of things, but I'd be satisfied if she just sits in the corner and wears a dunce cap. You know, that's enough for me. That's more than enough for me. I just don't want her to be in power. But, you know, I don't know if the entire black community really supports the Bloods and the Crips and voluntarily gives money to them. Right. But the Jewish community, and I try to understand why, I try to analyze why, but the Jewish community as a whole, for the most part, supports the ADL, and they support the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, and so there is a certain responsibility that they have. Is it a responsibility that means they have to be rounded up? No. But I do think what would I like to do to them? I would like to critique them, just as I have been, as a white man, I've been critiqued my entire life. So any final thoughts before we wrap this up, Mark?
Well, I think it's very sensible what you say, and I think approaching this in a sensible way is so important because we want more people to talk about it. Now, I'm not sure.
Because the discussion of Jewish power is the destruction of Jewish power.
Yeah, it is. And I don't think by, you know, sexing things up or going over the top, we actually further our arguments either. I think that fundamentally harms our arguments, and it harms our ability to make those arguments. It puts people off listening to you. So my position on Candice Owens is I'm very glad that she's talking about these things. I am not going to slap away. I doubt she will hold out a hand of friendship to me, but if she did, I wouldn't be slapping it away. And not only wouldn't I be slapping it away, but fundamentally, if she decides to talk about it more, whatever she says will be a good thing because it will take her audience closer to us. And that is fundamentally what we need. We need people to get to the point where they feel sort of curious enough or morally justified enough, whatever you say, to go that step further and to look at something a little bit more truthful. And if she brings about a situation like that, well, why is that a bad thing? Why is that something we should be against? We shouldn't be trying to, either slap away a hand of friendship or, you know, coerce anybody into talking about these things in a way that appears to be almost cartoonish or in a way that puts normal people off. So I'm really happy about this. And, you know, I do welcome, you know, a wider audience in this debate and a wider number of established content creators who do have access to Twitter, to Facebook, to Instagram, etc., discussing this kind of thing. And as much as I'd like to say me getting banned off Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, you know, was a big thing, well, it was for me, and it probably created a buzz for about 5 minutes, but nothing like the buzz it would create with her getting banned. So let's face it, at this point, Candice Owens has a chance to make a real big difference. Let's just hope she does it in the right way. Let's hope she keeps going down this route. Let's hope some of the people that she brings with her end up finding people like us.
Well, thank you very much for joining me today, Mark.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's been a great pleasure, my friend.
Okay, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Jewish Radio.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.